Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Carol's Dungeon, our podcast where we talk about all things sci-fi, fantasy, and horror. My name is Wendy.
And I'm Wendy's big brother, Kurt. How's it going?
Going all right. So,
how's your end of the realm today, Wendy?
My end of the realm. So, as you can probably see, well, of course, Kurt can probably see, I'm multitasking a little bit today. I'm putting together these gift packs of our liquor.
Oh, cool.
Because we're doing a festival this week. And so I was actually going to send you one of these.
What festival are you doing?
It's Thousand Islands, Greater New York State Festival. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Greater New York State Wine Festival.
Well, I'll expect pictures and stuff.
Okay, well, I mean, I'm just going to be at the table. I'm not, like, you know, performing or anything, but...
Do you like to socialize at all?
I'm going to be selling booze.
All right. Well, if you can't get me pictures, get me pictures.
Okay. What's up with you?
Hanging in there. Are you wearing a sweatshirt?
Yes.
Because it's like, well, I don't know. When you're in Texas, you think everything is hot. But it is practically summer over there, right?
It's summer, but it's not like super duper hot. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Just checking. All right. Well, everything's okay over here.
Good.
What are we going to talk about today?
Well, today I thought we would talk about Night Sky.
Amazon feature.
Yes, it's an Amazon feature starring the one and only Sissy Spacek.
Uh-huh.
And that other guy.
J.K. Simmons, ladies and gentlemen. How can you forget J.K.?
Well, I'm old and, you know, memory is the first thing to go.
So I hear.
So I thought we would talk about that a little bit and kind of talk, maybe talk a little bit more about Sissy Spacek, since she is kind of, I don't know, I kind of think of her as, well, you know, she did Carrie, so I kind of think of her as a horror.
She was the coal miner's daughter, too.
She was. In fact,
yeah, she won an Academy Award for that. So, you can see, we're talking about, and J.K. Simmons is an Academy Award winner too. So, if one of our six listeners has yet to watch the show, see that it's got some pedigree. It's got a couple of really fine, established actors in there, and and they use them. You know, they actually put their talents to work, which is sometimes you don't really see that in science fiction. You know, I mean, but if you get a couple of name brands in the science fiction or fantasy. A lot of times you don't get to see their full talents on display. That was really the case here, I thought. So do you want to tell the audience something about the show?
Sure. So it is the story of this couple, an older couple, played by Sissy Spacek and J.K. Simmons, who have this weird, strange sort of portal in their house that they discovered like many years ago. So you see, this is another Amazon show about Portal. It's basically a room where they go that takes them to like kind of another planet. But they can't really leave the room because they don't know like what the atmosphere is like on the planet. And I think they sent some mice out at one point and the mice died. But so basically what they do is they go and they sit, they put up some like comfy chairs and they sit by the window in this room that they built and, you know, watch the universe, watch this planet, see what's going on. So they don't know what it is or why it's there, but they go and hang out there sometimes. And pretty soon we realize or we learn that they had a son who killed himself 20 years earlier. And they're kind of trying to cope with that still. And kind of looking out the window in their little planet room is a way that Sissy Spacek can kind of cope and think about stuff. Oh, and she's also kind of sick. She had an accident and, you know, she's getting old and, you know. So that's what's going on. Do you want to add some stuff to that, Kurt?
Yeah. I don't know why I didn't see this coming. I should have. But like I said, when I say that the acting is very good, everybody who knows, you know, Sissy Spacek and J.K. Simmons, though, they're both a little bit older. So this is a story about an older couple who are kind of not just trying to deal with a tragic loss that happened all these years before, but they're basically recognizing their own mortality. And Wendy says Sissy Spacek is kind of ill, and J.K. Simmons' character, Franklin, I think he was, is getting a little bit forgetful. So they're dealing with the challenges of being an older couple on their own, who are coming to her, you know, basically their twilight. And it was a very personal thing. And it kind of hits you, you know, it kind of hits you where it hurts sometimes. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say there are other things going on, like that we find out like what's going on with the portal and the planet and all of that, and you know, there's a kind of a nosy neighbor, and then there's a secret society that knows about the portals, and you know, there's some action.
And it's not. I mean, when we say science fiction, it's not. You know, it's not like aliens invading or anything. They're not fighting off Death Stars. But I basically saw this as like, I saw three kind of different storylines. One that focuses on, maybe more than three, but one that, of course, focuses on the elderly couple. Mm-hmm. And the nosy neighbor was kind of interesting, too. Because he seems like a guy who has kind of an inferiority complex. His wife is just trying to deal with him.
Uh-huh.
But
he's kind of a jerk.
Yeah, kind of. But we come to find out that he's actually a whistleblower at some point. And the town that they used to live in kind of blew the lid on this big thing, and they became kind of pariahs in their neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And they had to leave. And that kind of, this whole inferiority thing kind of fuels everything he does. And he does kind of become an important character. Mm-hmm. And the third was, after the first episode, we meet these pair of individuals, a mother and a daughter, who are in Argentina. And the whole storyline kind of shifts. And you're probably going to be thinking, what's going on here? What's this got to do with anything? But these two characters are extremely important. And as the story goes on, come to see how they fit into the other storylines. So I thought it was pretty well done. And I thought the acting overall, especially the little girl, I forget what her name is, the little Argentinian girl, she was very good. Sissy Spacek and J.K. Simmons knock it out of the park. I mean, they're both put on a very emotional performance. And the nosy neighbor was, I thought he was kind of interesting, you know. But all around, the acting was very good. So, I mean, if you're not looking for any other reason, you could kind of cling to that. Start with that to watch the show.
Like I was saying, it is sci-fi, but it's not, the people in it are very real, I think, and very relatable. You know, because they're just an older couple. They're just living in an ordinary town, doing ordinary stuff, nothing really special about them. But they have these kind of extraordinary circumstances where they had this other planet in their shed.
And what happens, that might sound a little bit weird, you know, how can you make a movie out of that? But I think we should make our six listeners aware that at the end of the first episode, what happens is another being comes through the portal onto the side.
Another person.
Yeah. He's human. And he's a younger kid. He's
cute as hell. Well, okay, let me stop. Kurt said a younger kid. He's not that young. He's
20s, maybe.
Yeah. Okay. Just made it sound like, you know.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I guess that makes younger kid to me, 20s, but
yeah. Well, anyway.
But as Wendy mentioned before, you can almost see where that's going, because he's the same age, I think, that their son was when he committed suicide.
Right.
And so you can see how he's going to have an effect on, especially, what's Sissy Spacek's character's name? I don't remember.
I don't know. Sissy Spacek. She's always just Sissy Spacek to me.
But yes. That's going. So what happened was, they were kind of, you know, they were almost debating about, you know, where are we going with all this? We just come into this room doing this for this past 20 years, and we're just sitting here staring. Are we going to tell somebody? Are we going to try to see what's on the other side? They were kind of at a crossroads where this guy comes through. Mm-hmm. So now they're thinking, wait a minute, there's another side to this somehow. And the story kind of centers around them trying to figure out what's happening.
Right.
It's pretty interesting. I thought it was pretty good. I liked it. I liked it. It kind of left us hanging, though. So
yes.
I guess there'll be a season two if the ratings are good enough. If not, we're just going to have to sit and wonder what the hell happened.
Yeah, they got to have a season two. We're just
going to I would hate that. Did you like it?
I liked it a lot. Yeah, I binged it pretty much, I think, like in 2 days. So. Yeah.
Did you prefer that to the other
Outer
one?
Range? So I actually just rewatched Outer Range.
I have to go back and do that too.
I mean, like, watching it the second time, a lot more stuff makes sense and you catch more things. So I really like it a lot. I mean, I liked it before, but I really like it more now.
The Outer Range.
Outer Range, yes.
Okay.
I may have to give Night Sky a second watch too. Not that I think I missed very much stuff. The plot wasn't quite as convoluted as Outer Range was.
Right. I think it's more. This is more like a character study. Well.
Yeah.
It just gets deeper into how the characters and what their motivation is to try to get through what they're getting through. But you get deep into the characters the way you didn't really in the Outer Range.
Right. I mean, you did somewhat in Outer Range, but not to the same extent. It wasn't,
right.
I mean, the focus was on the mystery, I think,
right.
in Outer Range. So
do you recommend this?
I absolutely recommend it. Yeah. Definitely. As a matter of fact, one of our six listeners, she was mentioning it on Facebook, and I was like, oh, I'm in the middle of watching it. And she said, I hope you do a podcast about it.
Oh, okay.
So I said, I'm texting Kurt right now. So
how about that?
So yeah. So can we just talk about Sissy Spacek, though?
Sure. I love you some Sissy Spacek.
I love Sissy Spacek so much. She's one of those actresses. We watch her reading the phone book. It's kind of weird seeing her as an old woman, though, because, you know, I always think of her as Carrie.
Right. The angry teen.
Yes. Yeah. And I was telling Kurt right before we came on the air, I was thinking of another film that she did in the early 70s called Badlands. And it was with Martin Sheen. And it was about the two teenagers that go on like a murder spree, I guess, out west somewhere back in the 50s.
Yeah, Midwest somewhere.
Right. So let
and
me see.
Why is it called the Midwest anyway? Shouldn't it be called the Mideast? Utah should be like Midwest, right? Nevada, that should be Midwest. Why do we call it's just a pet peeve of mine. I'm sorry.
I don't know. But Charles Starkweather and Carol Ann Fugate were the ones that went on the killing spree in 1958. And so the story was based on them. Sissy Spacek played the girl, and Martin Sheen played the young man. And, you know, that was in 1973, which is a few years before Carrie. And actually, I don't know if people know this, but Sissy Spacek was in her mid-20s when she did Carrie.
You know, I looked that up when I was watching, like I always do, you know, you're probably like me, when a movie or a TV show is running, you're constantly checking IMDb to see like how old such and such was when this came out, what else she was in. Where have I seen that guy before? And that's one of the things I did look up. And I was like, yeah, she was a little bit older.
But she
wasn't a teenager, but she pulled it off.
Yeah. So in both of those movies, in Badlands and in Carrie, she played a teenager, but she was actually in her 20s. Carrie is one of my favorites. I think Carrie was nominated for a few Oscars. I'm pretty sure Sissy Spacek was nominated, and Piper Laurie was nominated.
Yeah, right.
Did she actually was win?
Really, I don't know. Good question.
Let me look that up. Yeah. But yeah, so Piper Laurie played her crazy mother. The person who's in divorce. Say it.
Yeah, she did a fantastic job at that because she was truly unsettling.
Unhinged. Yes.
Yeah. You know, she was the let's see. I'm just looking up to see if she won.
Okay. I'm pretty sure she was nominated, but that's kind of unusual for a horror movie. Usually horror movies don't get any appreciation.
Yeah, especially back then.
So yeah, Carrie is actually a classic, I'm sure.
Oh, okay. Yeah. She was nominated. She didn't win. She was also in Children of a Lesser God, which I think got her a nomination. I didn't know that.
Okay. I did not know that either.
The Hustler. Yeah, Piper Laurie has some pedigree. She's got some heart.
Yeah. But she was great. She was great in Carrie. Of course, Sissy Spacek did Coal Miner's Daughter as well, which I haven't seen in many years. But did she win the Oscar for that?
Yes, she did.
Yeah. Okay.
Well deserved.
Right. So, did you actually see her in Castle Rock?
Yes. Yes, I did. And I feel bad about that because I kind of turned that one off because it was just getting too nutty for me. It was just too many different storylines. It seemed like they were like kind of connecting all these Stephen King stories and trying to make it one story.
Yeah, it was like the Stephen King universe, basically.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm remembering her in that now. She was good in that, too.
She was good. So. She played kind of the same sort of character, like an older woman who's kind of losing her marbles and has a son and stuff is going on. So she was also great in that. So she kind of has a little bit of a horror pedigree. It's funny because she's done so many things. She's one of those actresses that just, you know, she's in everything.
Been around since the early 70s. So yeah.
Right. And, you know, you go back and you look at her body of work and you're like, oh yeah, she was in that. And yeah, she's amazing. So we love Carrie.
Yeah, and I feel like we should be giving love to a little bit of love to J.K. Simmons too, because I always really like that guy. And he won an Academy Award for, I think it was Backlash? What was the name of that?
The one about
Whiplash.
Yeah, but it was Whiplash.
He played a real asshole in that.
Yeah. See, I started to watch that and I couldn't get through it because I just really don't like abusive people.
Yeah.
And
But he's really good. I think the first time I ever really laid eyes on him was in when he's playing, you know, Emil Skoda in Law and Order.
Yeah.
And then he went on to do a lot. He's been on a lot of things, and I seem to always enjoy his work. And it says something about an actor when he plays such a fucking asshole, and you still really love him. I had these actors or actresses when I was a kid who were so monstrous in certain movies that I grew up hating their guts and everything they did after that. Right? And every movie they're in, I can't watch that motherfucker. Fuck him.
Yeah.
I think I might have gotten out of that, but.
But like I said, I couldn't sit through that movie. That just didn't really bother me.
It's so. A very good. You should give it another shot.
Well, maybe I will.
Yeah. But all around, yeah, I think the acting in this, the, getting back to Night Sky, the acting all around was very good. I thought everybody did a really good job, and they made it more believable. You know, good luck making a show about a, you know, a different planet under your shed. Believable. And they did.
Yes.
They pulled it off. So, yeah, I recommend it too. I'm sure Wendy does. I think it's something that everybody should pay attention to. If you're not in the right frame of mind, or you're in certain situations, there are a couple of scenes in there that might, you know, pull at your heartstrings a little bit.
Yeah,
just show the effectiveness of it all, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, their kid kills himself, so that's, you know,
that's part of it. Part that got me was kind of like just them dealing with age, you know, with all the shortcomings that come, you know, just growing old and getting on. So you know. The job well done.
All my boxes are like tumbling out all over the place.
You got shit all over the place. What are you doing?
I know. Listen, if we don't make a shitload of money at this festival, you're going to hear about it next week.
Going postal? See, I can't even make postal jokes anymore because that's not funny.
No, it's not.
Can't say under his eye anymore.
No shit.
Can't make going postal jokes. What's going on, man? That sucks. Well, do you have anything to add to Night Sky?
I don't. Just, you know, you should totally watch it. It's on Amazon.
Okay.
And I think there are 8 or 9 or 10 episodes. So, but like I said, it was a really, I binged it in a couple days. So
yeah, it'll get you hooked. It's fun. Well done thing. I recommend it too. So everybody go check it out. Let us know what you think. Know what I'm saying?
Yes. So Kurt, you were telling me that you had a hidden gem.
I do. Actually, this is interesting because it's a hidden gem and a heads up all in one.
We're listening.
I want to bring everybody's attention back to a movie called Willow. Yay! Did you ever see Willow?
Years ago.
Yeah.
And I love David. Wait, that's the one with David Bowie, right?
No, that was David Bowie was.
Labyrinth.
Labyrinth.
Okay. Right. Willow's the one with the dwarf.
Yes. Willow came out in 1988. And I remember seeing this in the movies repeatedly. My friends went to see it. But yeah, I went to see it a bunch of times.
Okay.
It's a movie about, you know, it's a fantasy. It's about this dwarf. That's the right term, right? A little person.
Yes.
Who is actually played by Warwick Davis. And you've probably seen Warwick Davis in a bunch of different things, but didn't realize who he was. He's been in, you know, he was the Leprechaun in the Leprechaun movies.
Really?
Horror movie. Yeah, he was in the Harry Potter movies. He's been in a couple of Star Wars. But this is, as far as I know, this is the only thing he's ever actually starred in. And I was thinking, man, this guy's been around for a long time, because I got the impression that he was older than me. He's actually not. So I believe he was a teenager when he was in this movie. He's playing an adult. I guess he played it off. But he plays basically this farmer, you know, in this fantasy world, who is who's trying to learn to become a wizard. And he gets thrown into this kind of crazy journey to protect a special baby. That the evil queen was trying to kill.
It's all coming back to me now.
Yeah, it was the first time I'd ever seen Val Kilmer was in it. It was the first time I've ever seen him in anything. That made me aware of him. And Joanna Wally later became Joanna Wally Kilmer. They got married after that. I think since divorced. But it is a lot of fun. It's just I think Ron Howard directed it too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, and it's just like action, comedy is good for the kids too, if you want to watch it with the kids. It's a lot of fun. And if you haven't seen it, it's on Disney, I believe, and I have to go back and watch it. And the reason that I'm bringing it up is because I found out that they're making a a sequel to it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, at first I thought it was a remake, and then Warwick Davis is in it. I don't know if Val Kilmer or Joanna Whalley's in it, but I believe it's going to be a series, and it's coming out on Disney. I want to say maybe sometime later on this year. I'm not sure. But the clip looked really interesting. It looked like a lot of fun. Just like the original movie. So I'm recommending that people go watch the original, have a blast with it. And, you know, if you like it and you kind of like where it's going, there'll be a series coming out later on, maybe later on this year. It's a blast. Awesome. I mean, it's just good, clean fun. So
does Val Kilmer still make movies? I mean, wasn't he like sick or something?
I heard he's kind of an asshole. I heard he's one of those guys that nobody wants to work with anymore. I don't know how true that is. And that would break my heart because I love the guy.
Yeah. There's actually a documentary about him on Amazon. I have not
watched
it.
It's on my list. I need to watch that.
Speaking of, I haven't watched it. So it's kind of on my to-do list. But Val Kilmer, I had such, I mean, for years and years, I waited for him to have like the perfect role in the perfect movie. And he had the perfect role in The Doors when he played Jim
Morrison.
I was
going to say, some might argue that the Doors was his crowning achievement.
And but the movie was horrible.
I can't say I'm a huge Doors fan. I like a lot of their stuff. I like their bluesy stuff more than their psychedelic shit. But I can't say I'm a huge fan. So like the characters in particular I didn't like very much, and I didn't like where Oliver Stone went with it. But Val Kilmer was absolutely amazing.
He was uncanny.
Jim Morrison. I think he even did the vocal work, right?
Yeah, I think he did.
Yeah, he's a special talent. Of course, let's not forget Tombstone.
I was going to mention Tombstone. He was Doc Holliday. There's no other Doc Holliday.
Well, I beg to differ, though, Wendy. I've told you about this many times. I really believe you should check out Wyatt Earp with Kevin Costner.
I have seen Wyatt Earp.
Dennis Quaid was a fantastic Doc Holliday.
He was good, but he wasn't Val Kilmer.
Like I said, I think that the Wyatt Earp was a more realistic look at Wyatt Earp's life.
And it was long.
Tombstone was just sheer entertainment.
Yeah, Tombstone is great. Although I have to say, we're really getting off the subject right now, but love the movie, but the more I watch it, the more I hate Dana Delaney. I thought she was just so horribly miscast in that movie.
And yeah, she's kind of at the point that really stood out. You know who's great in that? Stephen Lane. He played Ike Clanton. And he's talking about a very talented.
Go back and
look at his resume and see the movies that he's in. You're going to say, that was him? Oh my God, that was that guy. He's in that. We should do an episode on that guy one of these days. Okay. he's a fantastic actor. Very good. But anyway. Val Kilmer.
Anyway,
Willow.
Val Kilmer.
Watch it. Enjoy it. Do you have a hidden gem, Wendy?
I do. And I will tell you about it after this short break. Okay. So my hidden gem. Last time we talked about it's a sci-fi series called Red Rising, recommended by my friend Sarah. And I had just finished the first one, and I was contemplating buying the next two. So I did buy the next two, and well worth it. So the entire trilogy of Red Rising, highly recommend. I started a new one. This is a fantasy series that I had heard. Sarah did not recommend this one to me, but I heard that it was really good from like numerous people. It's called The First Law. That's the name of the series. It's written by Joe Abercrombie. Have you heard of it?
No, I have not.
Okay. Well, I just started. Well, I'm probably about halfway through. and really, really liking it a lot. Some people have compared it to Song of Ice and Fire.
Really?
Yes, which I kind of see a little bit. It's you know, fantasy. It's the grimdark genre, which I guess is like a subgenre of fantasy where it's just like really grim and dark. You know, morally gray characters, a lot of violence, that sort of thing. But I don't know that it's really so much like A Song of Ice and Fire, except it is really character driven. And I'm really, really into it. And one of the things that I really like about it is that it's actually funny. Surprisingly, I've found myself laughing at many points.
You don't get that from Tolkien or Martin.
No, you don't. So there is quite a bit of comic relief, which I like a lot. One of the characters, he used to be like a swordsman and kind of a nobleman and, you know, happy-go-lucky kind of guy. And he went off to war and was captured by the enemy. And he was tortured. And then they let him go. And he came back home, and now he's all messed up. He's like...
Oh, that's so funny!
Well, that's not the funny part.
Oh, it's not.
But okay. He's like all crippled, and they pulled out half of his teeth, and, you know, so he's like really messed up. But
they don't have to torture a dude.
Well, yes, and now what he does is he is an inquisitor for the king. So he's kind of like, you know, doing to other people what was done to him. And so there's a lot of other stuff going on, but he really kind of reminds me of Tyrion in a lot of ways.
When was the book written? Any idea?
That's a good question. I don't think it was terribly recent. Let me look that up right quick.
Wendy.
First Law Trilogy. So, The Blade itself is the first book. Actually, 2006 is okay. When the first one came out. So it's not old, but...
Right. Gotcha.
But yeah.
Okay.
So a lot of people who I've heard recommend this say it's like, you know, one of the top fantasy series all time.
Okay. All time, really? All right.
Yeah.
Let me know what you think, because I have I still have a lot to read. I'm still in the middle of this beast of a Game of Thrones book. What the Storm of Swords, is it? The third one?
You're still on the third one?
Yeah, it's a monster. I you know, like I said, I read a little bit at a time and then I move on to something else. And I'm just like, I'm only like halfway through it, so I gotta put that in a high gear. But you know, I don't know what to read next.
I've been giving you recommendations, for God's
right.
sake.
I kind of like the way this one sounds, where you're making it, the way you describe it. Maybe I'll do that one next. I don't know.
Okay. I think you should read Brandon Sanderson. And, you know, as a matter of fact, we could do a whole episode on just like breaking down the universe with no spoilers. We can do an episode where I'm trying to convince you to read the series.
Okay, cool. But, deal.
Yeah. Okay. Excellent.
One more thing I want to mention is something I normally wouldn't bring this up because I can't say I was a huge fan, but there's going to be another Predator show on Hulu, which is coming out in August. Now, I really like the first movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Right.
And I'm sure everybody knows that there have been a million other adaptations of movies. And in my opinion, they were all colossal failures. So normally I wouldn't recommend this, but I think this one looks kind of interesting. I watched the trailer and I kind of liked it. What kind of stands out to me about this one is like the Predator, you know, he comes to Earth. This time he comes to pre-colonized North America, and the star like the hero is she looks to be like a teenage Native American. And so that kind of, that caught my attention. I was like, oh, cool. And the trailer looked pretty good. So, you know, if there's anybody who's into the Predator franchise or just looking for something new, maybe that's something we should keep an eye on. I'm probably going to watch this one. I've been let down so many times by this franchise, but you know, and I think it's a shame because I think they had a good idea, but it's the movies just they're all horrible.
You're a masochist. Why don't you find the trailer and post it on Facebook page?
Will do. Gotcha. Okay. I will do that.
All righty then. So you got anything else, Kurt?
I think I'm done for the day. Okay. I think I've got it all out of my system. How about you?
I think so too. So next week we'll talk about Brandon Sanderson. You don't have to do anything. I'll do all the talking. Cool. You can ask me questions.
And like while you're convincing me, you could also convince one of our six listeners. How's that? That's for a challenge, Wendy.
Okay. Sounds great.
You up for it?
I am up for it.
All right. Movie.
All right. And now our watch has ended.
I really want to say under his eye, though. Can I say under his eye?
You just did, but go ahead.
Under his eye.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Until next time.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.